Good morning. Happy Independence Day. Please be seated. Here's to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Some people say that if the gospel writer Mark lived today, he would be a CNN journalist. Picture this. You're sitting in your home in ancient Nazareth, and a CNN news bulletin comes on the TV screen. The star reporter, who is known as Mark, appears with a late-breaking story about Jesus, the local boy who Mark and many others seem to be quite smitten with. Now, you're familiar with Mark's coverage. It's eyewitness reporting of Jesus 24/7. Jesus on the move, Jesus in action, Jesus doing what Jesus does. Being baptized, healing, confronting demons, forgiving sins, calling disciples, and calming storms. You're beginning to think that Mark has lost his reporter's objectivity. He seems to be buying into the talk that's going around town that Jesus is indeed the promised Messiah, the Son of God. Yet you're hooked. You can't look away. This is a continuing story with lots of breaking news. But tonight, the news isn't very good at all. After performing miracles on both shores, even in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus returns to his hometown, perhaps expecting a warm welcome, if not a full-out ticker tape parade. He's confronted by the local folks who knew him as the kid on the block, Mary's son who used to get in their way, the teenager who used to play pranks with his friends, the man who didn't seem to show much ambition until he was age 30. They are not caught up in the buzz and the gossip columns at all about Jesus. Instead of praise, the crowd makes Jesus the object of scorn and disbelief. Mark's camera scans the crowd, and you see a bunch of cynics and skeptics and outright non-believers. Jesus cured a few, but seems to be having trouble with his power. A lack of faith seems to be kryptonite to this Superman. Now, if there are any skeptics out there, if you ask me, skeptics get a bad break. Ancient skeptics were investigators. The word actually derives from the Greek meaning investigation. It's the discerning person of faith who actually brings a healthy skepticism to belief, who mines the depth of faith, digging deeply, deeply below the surface. And questioning non-believers can spark a quest for much more understanding. Frankly, I enjoy the conversations I have with agnostics, because they challenge me to articulate my faith and to ante up the goods for them. These folks in town that day were not letting Jesus off the hook. They wanted him to ante up the goods for them. They posed some really good questions. Who is this Jesus? Where does he get his authority to do what he does? And exactly what is he out to accomplish? Now, Mark answers all of these questions in his gospel. He has a lot of notes in his reporter's notebook. And if you were able to see them, it would read like this. Jesus embodies the perfect faith. He lives the will of God, which is his source of authority. He speaks truth, and he loves openly. He heals, he brings comfort, he befriends, he tells stories, and he reveals God's divine thirst for a beloved community. Jesus is life-giving, he's life-restoring, and he's liberating. You might even say that he is boundary-breaking. Nothing, not belief, not color, not gender, not identity, not socioeconomic status, or lack of acceptance should keep anyone from being part of God's beloved community. This is the mission that he sends the disciples out on, and this is the mission he sends us out on as people of faith. Yet, my friends, we need to be prepared, just like Jesus that day. Life is full of Nazareth-like encounters, times when we come up against those who hunker down in their bunkers that are built by their own preconceived notions and their own cynicism and their own disbelief. It's not always easy to just shake the dust off our feet and to move on unscathed. We pay an emotional toll for each of these experiences that we have. Now, last Sunday, I left church and I was on a high. The parish celebration left me feeling the love and the acceptance of this faith community on Pride Sunday. Ronnie, my partner, and I decided to go down to the West Village to one of my favorite restaurants and to make the pilgrimage to Stonewall, the site of one of the sites of the beginning of the gay liberation movement. As we were walking by a church, he suggested that we go in and we visit the sacred space, look around, say a prayer, perhaps for thanksgiving for the liberation achieved, and prayers for the liberation yet to come. The young Dominican friars who stood on the church steps appeared to be very welcoming. When I approached them to ask if I could enter, they told me bluntly, "No. We are being insulted by this crowd." I paused. I introduced myself to them as an Episcopal deacon from St. Michael's Church on the Upper West Side, and I apologized that they were receiving insults from the people passing by. Sadly, it meant nothing. I did not get anywhere further than the step I was standing on, and the moment stung me. But the concern was not for me. I knew my non-Christian person of color partner, who is himself exploring his own faith, was standing behind me witnessing the whole conversation going on between clergy. Churches and rigidly held views have hurt a lot of people, most especially those in my LGBTQ plus community. This wasn't helping. The gays taunting the friars were themselves acting on assumptions, perhaps past experiences, or preconceived judgments. Both camps seemed to hunker down in their cynical distrust of one another. None of this is life-giving. None of this is life-restoring. None of this is liberating or boundary-breaking. None of this is of Christ's love. Sadly, sometimes our actions shatter the bond that must exist between word and action, and we let distrust and fear and uncertainty and cynicism rule the day. We miss opportunities for change, even small opportunities. Now, I wonder how different it would have been if the friars chose to distribute cold drinks of water to the gay revelers that day. And I wonder how different it would have been if the gay revelers walking by smiled and waved at the Dominican friars who stood on the step of their church. And I wonder if my sharing what I was really thinking and feeling in the moment to the friars would have helped change their perspective. I didn't do that. I walked away feeling shame from the conversation. When we fail to rise above our own fixed notions, and mine was fixed that I could not change their perspective, we leave others feeling undervalued in our wake. And we begin to believe that nothing will ever change. We kick our aspirations to the curbside. Now, today, as you know, is American Independence Day, the 4th of July, a time to celebrate the birth of our nation built on the aspirations of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I always loved that expression when I was growing up. To the founders in Perfect Men, it meant life, liberty, and land ownership to some. To me, it's the aspiration to build beloved community. The shining city on the hilltop, the land that is flowing with milk and honey, the beloved community, God's reign that is life-giving, with the common good at the heart of all that we do. God's beloved community that is liberating, doing all we can to break down the boundaries that prevent anyone from loving who they love and being who they are and having the opportunity to dream what they dream. And God's beloved community, where pursuing happiness means that the happiness of others means as much to me and to you as our own happiness, and where all have equal access to opportunity, including faith communities. Now, truth is, my friends, we've had plenty of evidence from this past year, and plenty of evidence continues to pour in, that we seem to have kicked these aspirations to the curbside. We've certainly let uncertainty lead to cynicism, to disbelief, and to rejection. And the list of those we seem to undervalue seems to be growing longer each day. Sadly, I ask, who's next? On this day in Nazareth, Christ's message was very clear. He stares directly into the faces of those who are rejecting him. He sends the disciples, and he sends us, out into the world to herald the message. And the message that we are to herald is a message of divine love. To love our neighbors, to love our enemies, and to build communities that are based on the aspiration of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.